Welcome to Hearts at Home. This recording was made at the 2012 National Conference. For more information, please visit us at www.heartsathome.org. You are listening to Raising Grateful Kids in a Culture of Consumerism. Marianne Miller loves to talk about money. She is a Crown Financial Ministries counselor, a certified parenting instructor, and a She Speaks graduate. She lives in Zionsville, Indiana, with her husband of 23 years, Andy, and their three grateful sons, and one son learning to be grateful. Please welcome Marianne.
Well, ladies, let me just say good afternoon. And for 8 years, I sat where you sat, and I have 8 Hearts at Home bags to prove it. And I kind of want to know, who are the first-time Hearts at Homers right now? You guys got an awesome bag. That is a great bag. Ladies, I want to talk today about grateful kids. And not just grateful words. I want to talk today about raising kids with grateful hearts. And so I know people are still coming in. I just want to kind of quiet ourselves and pray for this talk. Because, ladies, we do live in a culture that is against us. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I lift this hour up to you. I thank you for being who you are in our lives, that you are enough, that your mercies are new every morning. I praise you for every woman here who has come to hear more about you and about this job that they work as a mother and this ultimate calling. We look to you today, Lord, to hear what you have to say to us, and I praise you for who you are. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk a little bit about my experience as a Crown counselor, because for the last 10 years, my husband Andy and I have been counselors for Crown, which means we've met with a number of families in financial crisis. And when we first did this job, we thought we'd be helping people with low incomes. And we thought, with my budgeting prowess, that I could be helpful. And instead of meeting with low-income families, ladies, every single family we met with was high-income producing. We met with a Harvard MBA, medical doctors, ER doctors, a CEO of a company, all struggling with debt, struggling with marriages in crisis because of the stress that the finances have caused in their families. And so because of what we've seen, we raise our kids differently, because we know the Mercedes is not paid for, and what it represents is stress and a very difficult life that we do not want for our 4 sons. So just to give you a little picture of what that looks like, we were out on Martha's Vineyard about, it was a long time ago, because my 14-year-old was probably 4, and this giant yacht is pulling in. And so everyone kind of comes to the side of the beach to watch it pull into the marina, and it's very, very quiet. And everyone's kind of just, wow, I wish we could have that. And a small voice says, wow, I bet they're carrying a load of debt on that. And ladies, I had pictures up here of Disney and American Girl dolls and that giant tub of toys. Who does not have that giant tub of toys? And if you don't, it's an infant, and I know that it's an infant, and you will get that giant tub of toys. But I'm not against those things, but what I want to do today is offer you 2 things that you can teach your kids that will help them be grateful in their hearts. And the first one is contentment. Got a minute? I put this slide up here because I have 4 sons. And my sons will never, ever be dressed like this. Ever. This does not call to them. It does not speak to them. There is nothing about the way these boys are dressed that is going to seduce my sons to wear a kilt or to say, Mom, can I please have a kilt? Okay? But we live in a culture that sends messages to our family. But ladies, our family is strong enough to keep it out. And a really cool thing happened. It was about a month ago. I was giving this talk, and I woke up to my alarm, and I had that 1 second moment where I went to hit the snooze. And in that 1 second, this is what they said on the radio. It said, "Don't be afraid. Those that are with us are stronger than those that are against us." And I kind of want to read the whole passage. And then I hit my alarm and I said, that was from the Lord. Okay? We are not alone in this. Those that are with us are stronger. And I want to read the whole passage because this is when the king of Israel was looking out and all he saw were these troops lined up against him. And Elisha the prophet does this. "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. 'Oh, my Lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked. 'Do not be afraid,' the prophet answered. 'Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed, 'O Lord, open his eyes so that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." And lady, that's a powerful story because we can keep the culture's messages that say, hey, your kids, what's important is what they wear, not who they are. It's a culture that says that the things they have define who they are. So we have got to be able to recognize that is the enemy. It's the materialism. It's the consumerism that's creeping into our families, that's working against the ways of God, that are saying, you need to be grateful because you are a child of the Most High God. I hate to always attack the culture because there are some great things, but if we recognize that as the enemy, the message of who we are depends on what we have, then that's a powerful message. And the first lesson to teach your kids, ladies, is contentment. And sometimes I get the opportunity to speak to non-Christian groups, and they don't want all that religious talk. And I leave this slide in there, and I tell them about my friend Paul, and this is what my friend said. My friend Paul says that he's learned to be content in whatever circumstances. He knows what it's like to be in need, and he knows what it's like to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content, and in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in plenty or in want. And ladies, we have to learn to be content. It's not in us. What's in us is to be discontent, and that's what the culture knows. That's what the culture speaks to. But we have to learn it, whether we're well-fed, whether we're in plenty, we have to learn to be content. 1959 was the last year that most Americans polled said they were very happy. And since that time, housing sizes have doubled. Think about that for a minute. 1959 was when most people said they were happy, and yet we've doubled the housing sizes, and we are not any happier. This is the lesson to teach your kids. However, it's a very difficult lesson. This is Matthew. He's special. I said in my bio, we have 3 kids that are grateful and one that's just trying really, really hard, and that's Matthew. We said to him, we said, Matthew, honey, what makes you happy? People are things. You know this, because he was struggling with putting his joy in his stuff. And he looks at us and he says, Mom, actually, people that buy me things make me really, really happy. So that's Matthew. Let's go ahead and look, ladies, at why we are discontent. Okay? What makes us discontent? If you look at the picture, it's the man showing the boy, the little girl, all the things in the store. But there are certain things in our culture that create in us this discontent. And if we can identify them, then we can fight against it. The first one's McDonaldland's toys. And I don't want there to be any guilt in this room. I want to free you from guilt. But if we want to work to have grateful kids, then we have got to recognize the enemy. And the enemy comes in a little box, okay? When we give them the McDonald's Land's toys, we are training them to play and toss. And to play and to toss. And when we're done with it, we just throw it away. And I know some of you, it's at the bottom of the tub. Okay, I remember my son one day looked at something that one of the other boys wanted, and he looks at it, and he goes, it's just going to end up in the tub, you know? So it's just this idea that you see it, The joy is not in the stuff. Okay? So watch those things that you do that feed that easy to feed discontent. So McDonaldland toys is one. And the second one is therapy and hobby shopping. And again, not something to come away with guilt, just something to think of. If we want kids that are grateful, what things are we doing that might be making this a difficult lesson? And one is therapy shopping or hobby shopping. And to me, what that is when your child goes to the dentist and you say, oh, it's going to be tough, but when we're done, we can go pick something out. And we're elevating the stuff to have power and to have joy. And the way you get through something hard is to just look forward to the thing. And how often do we show them hobby shopping? Which is, we're just shopping. We don't know what we want, but maybe we'll find it over here or over here. And it's so easy to train that. The next one is saying yes to fashions at a young age. Okay? When you buy high fashions at a young age, like the UGG boots for $150 for a first grader. And I absolutely know sometimes grandma can buy that and she's bringing that into the house. But I just would challenge you to think about it a little bit differently. Two things. One, it's not just a $100 decision. Because let me tell you, once a child has UGGs, it's a little hard to go back. So it's a $1,000 decision. When you take those UGGs and their feet are growing, every year they're growing. And I remember I had one of my sons said, sorry, I grew, you know, and I felt so bad for him. I was like, no, we're going to buy you everything you need. But when you spend $100 on shoes, the second thing it does is it attracts kids that say, nice shoes. I like your boots. And you might have a child that doesn't know what UGG is, but Susie does. And Susie's starting that message of, I like your boots. And that feels good. So I'd be really careful when you make those decisions. If you're trying to keep it out, what little things are you doing that are bringing it in? And I sometimes think of keeping the culture out, like in the winter, a year ago when we had winter, you know, you lock everything down and you try to keep the cold out. And if someone opens a window, then it comes in and you're like, oh no, we don't want that winter in here. And so we fight very hard to keep some of the things out. One of the things that's difficult to keep out is the TV, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But back to the fashions at a young age. When we did counseling, I'll never forget counseling a 25-year-old couple, young couple, that were needing to buy a new car. And the man was struggling because the car he was looking at was not as nice as the one he got when he was 16. And that was hard for him. And so I have a 15-year-old boy, and I said, oh, Michael, don't you worry. You will never, ever have to worry about being a discontent 25-year-old man. And he is just so scared. He just keeps saying, you know, how bad is it going to be? You know, so. And I had a pink Nova lady with most of it was pink and one brown door and the rope went across. And I know who I am today because of that pink Nova. So another thing that we sometimes can do that causes this discontent is we can say, it must be nice. We can say, oh, I wish we could do that. When you look at these things and you look at your kids and say, oh, honey, I wish we could buy that for you, but we just can't. And instead, we could be so strong and say, you know, actually, I've got a credit card. I could buy you that and a lot more. We choose not to. We're not placing our value there. And when you look at houses and big pools and the big fancy this and the big fancy that, and when you say, it must be nice, I want to tell you it's not nice. It's really, really sad. And I have people's faces in my mind right now that you don't have. And so I can convict my kids because I can say with all authority that this stuff is not lasting. The last one is the TV and the internet and the catalogs. When these things come into our lives, and ladies, it's not just the commercials, it's the characters. Have you paid attention to I don't want to go on Disney. However, when I'm on vacation, I like to watch the Disney station just so I can watch some of those characters and how they're all into their fashion and they're all into what's cool. And there might not be a commercial, but they're speaking to my child and they're saying who you are is what you wear and who you're going out with and what your shoes look like and how cute you are. And that's not a message that I want to get in. The Lego catalog. And for the girl counterpart, I would imagine the American Girl catalog, where her outfits are more than ours. It's just not right. And I want to firmly say that we don't have an American Girl doll problem at our house. So, oh, hang on a second. I didn't mean to do this, but okay. I know you might not have counted on the power of TV working against you, or you know it works against you. It can work for you. And you might not have wanted to have a VeggieTale-free weekend, but nobody says it better than Bob and Larry. So I would just want to share how you can use the TV to work for you. So let's see if we can get it.
Hi, kids. I'm Bob the Tomato, and welcome to... I'm Bob the Tomato, and welcome to... Larry, what are you doing? Come over here.
I'll be right there.
Who's seen this one? Who's used this?
Wow. What is this thing?
It's my new Suvi Action Jeep. I've been wanting it just forever, and now it's finally mine.
Wow. You must be pretty happy to get a cool toy like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, almost.
Almost?
Well... There's just one more thing I need to be really happy.
What's that?
The camper.
The what?
The Suvi Action Camper. You just hook it up to the trailer hitch on my Action Jeep, and I'll be ready for a weekend of wilderness fun.
Oh, so once you get the camper, then you'll be happy?
I don't know. There's also the dirt bike.
The dirt bike?
And the jet ski. And the action hang glider.
Larry, how much stuff do you need to be happy?
I don't know. How much stuff is there?
Maybe.
That's it. All right. I love that. How much stuff is there? And I speak that to my kids, and I speak it to myself. I've got the Barbie Action Camper. Can't I be happy with that? So I'm going to give you another tool to build this contentment, because there's a lot of stuff, ladies. There's a lot of stuff out there. If you don't nip this, there will always be that next thing in that Lego catalog that they don't already have. And where do you put those? Where do you put a Lego thing when it's done? And you've spent, it's just confusing. You're buying things to put the stuff on, so stuff for the stuff. But you have power. You can choose your activities wisely. You can choose activities that are going to raise kids to not be conditioned for a high-income lifestyle. Because when they leave your home, I would imagine and I would hope and I would pray that they're poor, that they have that chance to be poor. And if all they know is that we see every movie when it comes out and we go to Snoopy on skates and we've seen Cinderella skate and we've been to Disney 20 times and we've done this and this, and they get out and they don't know what to do with themselves. So there's activities that were on that slide that are powerful that we can do with our kids. Fishing. My nephew, who had just been to Disney, caught his first fish. And he looks at my brother, and he said, "Dad, this is better than Disney." And I said, "Absolutely." And I am not going to knock Disney. We went to Disney. We camped at Disney. We went one day to Disney. And we were there 4 hours before one of the boys said, "When are we going back to the campsite?" That was it. Our five-day pass lasted 5 years. We went down every year and camped and just went one day because that was enough for them. Choose your activities. Let them hang out with you. That's what they want to do. Okay, swing with them. Have them dig a hole to China. That's what they're going to remember. But we have a culture that's telling us, no, this is what they need to be doing. And it's usually $20 a person. Do you notice that everything the culture wants us to do is like $20 a person? Which is great. For one person. And then who's got a high multiple? Those Duggars. That's a lot of multiples of the $20. So train them, condition them for a lifestyle that doesn't need the stuff to have fun. They can have fun without it. And I just want to talk to you about how easily my kids are conditioned, because we drove down to Florida a couple years ago, and I thought it would be a good idea. If every time we got to a new state, we'd stop for gas, and we'd get out, and they'd pick out a treat in the gas station. So we did Tennessee, then we were in Atlanta, then we were in Florida, then we came back, Atlanta, Florida, Tennessee, Kentucky, up to Indiana. And then the next week, I got gas. And my kids jumped out of the car, and they ran into the gas station. And I said, what are you doing? Why are you getting out of the car? And they said, we're going to get our treat. And I said, get back in the car. You know, that was our trip. That's how easily they're conditioned for the stuff. That's how easily. If you have those activities in place, they will be more content as adults. Who thinks this could be their child? Just raise your hand. Who knows that this is their child? And I took that picture and you were off to the side saying, no, no more. That's enough. Okay? I want to kind of unpack this for what it means. Okay? That 50 cents, if you're thinking it's just 50 cents, it's not just 50 cents. What you're doing is training your child and rewarding that, I've got to get something. Look, I can maybe win this. Have you ever looked in a grab claw machine? My brother once said, they couldn't pay me to take anything that's in that machine home with them. And yet, because of the lights and the fancy stuff, kids are drawn to it. They're sucked into the challenge of it. But if we're there beside them saying, ooh, now who'd want to do that? They're just throwing God's resources away, and they might win a scary bear. You know, have you looked in there? And there'll be like one with the $20 bill, and your kid's like, well, I'll get that one. Stand there. Unpack that. Use it as an opportunity to say, this is how our culture works, guys. Do you see what they're doing? We came to Denny's. We thought we were going to get some food. And instead, we're playing carnival games. And I kind of want to show you the difference, because the grab claw, it's not evil. If your kid loves the grab claw, they get $3 in their pocket, and they say, take me to Denny's. I want to play the grab claw. I've saved my $3. Then I think that's great. Take them to Denny's. Play the grab claw. It's going to last 2 minutes, and then you can go home. That's different than when you walk into Denny's, see the grab claw, and that triggers a response of, I just saw an opportunity to do something, to buy something, to spend some money. I got to do it. I got to check it out. Because that's what our culture is doing. It's the snack bars, where it's $2 for a candy bar, but it's there. It's the tattoos at the zoo. We're looking at a lion, and someone wants a tattoo of a lion on their face. We're here to look at lions. You know, what do we condition? My husband said that the Cracker Barrel is just a giant grab claw. He said, you go in for a pancake, and you come out with a scented candle. So I would pay attention to our worlds, too. What are the grab claws for us? So we can teach the kids some defensive tactics to fight against this. But one of the biggest is just to teach them they're trying to get us. Let's make sure we're judging our thinking for ourselves and we're not getting the message of the culture. So here's some defensive tactics. The first and the absolute most important is that they find their identity in their Creator. Ladies, the number one characteristic of non-materialistic kids, and this is a secular study, it was a nurturing mother. So they studied all these kids, materialistic, not materialistic, and they said, what do they have in common, these kids that aren't materialistic? What is it? And it was a mother that was nurturing, a mother that said, I know you. You know, I love you for who you are. And you don't need this stuff to fill you up to tell other people who you are. I know who you are. So if the secular world can understand that, how much greater that we understand that by knowing our Heavenly Father and introducing your kids to their Creator, that He designed them specifically, and that their traits are designed like they're a masterpiece. There's a really kind of a cool thing that I like. Go ahead and cross your arms. This is just a little trivia for you. Go ahead and cross your arms. Now go ahead and look down and see if you're left over right or right over left. I'm left over right, so clearly that's right. But the rest of you, who else is doing it the right way? Left over right, okay? But some of you are doing it the wrong way, so try to do it. Go ahead, just try to, okay? And it's just, I'm walking around like this. It doesn't make sense. So I am so specifically designed that God created me to go like this rather than like this. Magnify that for your children, okay? Let them really be known that you know their heart, you know what they're good at. And ladies, they're not good at everything. It's okay to tell a kid, and I have, you don't have a mathematical mind. It's okay. It's okay. God's designed you that you're not going to need that mathematical mind. It's okay. Mom does not have a mathematical mind. We just kind of work through it all. Teach them who they are and who their creator is, and get that relationship going with their creator, and they are not going to need the world to fill them up with who they are, because they're going to know. Okay? The second one, and this is a challenge. If you could, please, minimize the inflow of the stuff. And knowing that this is my topic, and I've been speaking on this for a long time, so my kids know we are trying to keep out the stuff. And yet, I've collected this just over the last couple months before coming here, because somehow it's gotten in. Somebody popped a window and let in the, I don't know. Here's another one. Somebody made this, and then they sold it, and then someone bought it, and then somehow it came home. But I just want to tell you, nobody plays with this, okay? No one. And the last one, I have a kid that's into sports. He loves football, loves it. He comes home from school, and he plays football by himself because his other brothers aren't into sports. And I watch him out the window wishing he had brothers that were into sports, throwing the football to himself. It's sad. But he's designed by the Creator to love sports, okay? And he has this. And this isn't fun. He never plays with this. I don't know how it got into our house. All these things, somebody opened a window and brought them in. So I do want you to think about your life and the stuff that comes in and what you can keep out. And I know you might be thinking of a certain someone that might not be helpful. So if you could just picture that person in your mind. Just take a minute. Okay? Okay. Those people are spenders by nature. Whoever that is, they get a lot of joy out of buying that stuff for your kids. They love it. And we talked about this in my Get a Grip on Your Finances. Lady, if you haven't figured out this, you're either a spender or a saver by your nature, by your core. And I would teach your kids. I have two spenders and two savers because that's how God does things, okay? The spender is the one that eats the ice cream cone. And the saver looks at him and says, when he's all done, he goes, "Your ice cream cone's gone. I got 75 cents in my pocket." And the spender's looking at him saying, "Well, I just enjoyed an ice cream cone. Are you crazy?" And the saver's going, "I have so much power. I can buy whatever I want with 75 cents. And they're both right. So that person that's letting that stuff come into your house, okay, they're a spender. But if we can channel that, that would be helpful. So what I've done, because I have one, Grandma keeps a lot of stuff at her house. Just makes it more special. Okay? So she can buy it. They can play with it a little bit. And then it just goes home with her. Okay? We've talked about books, that she buys them books. Okay? That's a healthy thing to bring in. Things that are consumable. I love crayons because then they go away. Okay? I love paint. It goes away. Anything that goes away is an acceptable gift. So take those spenders, channel the love, if you could. Channel the love into what's acceptable. But I know that's a struggle. The third thing is to eliminate the power of the stuff, okay, from your kids. They've got to know that that stuff can't have power over their joy and their happiness. And so that just really brings up the Buzz Lightyear story, which is family legend, because the child that created the Buzz Lightyear story is a 15-year-old boy, and he wants that car. And when he was 5, we went to Disney. And we were there about an hour before he saw this. Okay? And it just felt like everybody was at Disney had this. And so we'd be having some fun, and then we'd get in line for Dumbo, and the boy in front of him has this. And he's looking at it, and he wants this. He wants it more than anything. I mean, who wouldn't? It spins. It used to light up. This could bring him joy. And for $12.95, I explained the reality that it does not bring me $12.95 full of joy. And so I said, no, no, no. We said no all day long. But ladies, this is a strong-willed child. And if you're thinking, you know, do I have a strong-willed child? No, you don't. You don't have a strong-willed child. But he was. And this was all he could think about. And so there we are at the end of the day. We're on the floor, and he is sitting on the floor of the Disney gift shop. And I don't know why we went in there, but we did, and that was wrong. And so he's cradling it. But it was because we used to be able to go into stores, and they didn't realize they were things that you could buy. But now they knew, you know, and he's holding it. And I looked down at him, and the tears were pouring down his face because he knew. No, Mom says no. He's $12.95. We're not doing it. But it was just that look. And I held up his chin, and I said, Michael, I said, all day long we've been at Disney. This is Disney. It's a lot of money. Okay? And all day long, your joy has been sucked out because of this. And this toy has power over you. And something clicked in his head. It wasn't audible, but I heard it. And he put this down, and he walked out because that strong-willed child was not going to let anything have power over him. No way. And it's not going to be that easy every time, ladies, but have that message come home. Don't let stuff have power over your kids, and don't let it have power over you. Okay? And the last one is to be able to define enough. Oh, for those of you asking why I have this, see, you're all like, murmur. Why does she have it? Well, her sister-in-law lives in Orlando, and they have these sales called People That Live in Orlando Get Cheap Disney Stuff every year. And she sent four of them up. They were a dollar each. And so we got four one year. So I always bring it out just to, you know, rant. So that's where it came from. It was a gift. Last thing is define enough. Your kids have got to know how much is enough. It's a word you should use. And I want you to look at this slide for a minute. Think of it as a continuum. You've got scarcity, which you know what scarcity is. It's not enough. And then you've got enough. And then you've got abundance. That's Thanksgiving. Look at that. They're having a really good time. There's food everywhere. There's homemade rolls. And then there's too much. Clearly, we know what too much looks like. But where do we find joy in buying for our kids? It's audience participation. Which one of those things? Scarcity, enough, abundance, too much. Abundance. It's abundance. That's where the joy is. Christmas morning's where the excitement is for us. You've got to understand that you can't give them abundance if they don't understand what enough is. Because if you buy them a $100 doll and they don't recognize that a $10 doll was enough, then that doll's just enough. It's not abundance. Think about that. How do you teach your kids how much is enough? Because if that's what they understand, then they'll be so grateful when you give them abundance. My kids celebrate when I pay for a slushie. It's thrilling. And it's 69 cents, and it's the big one, and we do two guys to one slushie and two straws, and there might be some arguing about who's the sharing partner, because somebody always knows that somebody drinks more. They are thrilled. They are so grateful, because they know that it's enough just to not even ever have a slushie. But when I stop and get one, that's abundance, and it's a party in the van. Okay? So that's it. That's lesson one. And I spent a lot more time with contentment because that to me is more important. If they've got this piece, they are on their way to being grateful. But the second lesson, okay, first one's contentment. If that wasn't overkill, that was contentment. Second one's financial discernment. Okay? Teach your kids that they're rich. If you have a refrigerator in your home, you are more wealthy than half of the people in the world. So use that word. Tell them that they're rich. And because they're rich, they have to be wise financial stewards for God because they've been blessed and they have an abundance of material goods that other people don't have. So the first lesson is you've got to model for them financial decision making. We're rich, guys. We've got to do things the wise way. Okay? One of the best things I used to do is take the kids shopping with me, and they grocery shopping. And they could hear over and over again me saying, well, how much is that? Oh, no, not today. Or how much is that? Oh, yeah, let's stock up. My kids know the stock up price on chicken breasts. Okay, they know that $1.99 is big and $3.99 go home. They know that. And that's sad. It really is sad. But it's from the conditioning of we make decisions based on if we decide it's a value. So give your kids that filter. I'll never forget being a substitute teacher in the cafeteria, and I went up to this table of cheerleader girls, and there were like 16 Ugg boots and 8 ponytails, and I walked up there, and this girl had a Pop-Tart, and I was just like, Pop-Tarts? I was like, how much are they? And she goes, I don't know. And in my mind, that's it. She saw a Pop-Tart. She wanted a Pop-Tart. She used her little card, and she got the Pop-Tart, and that she's got a Pop-Tart. She's missing the filter. So give your kids the filter. Teach them they're rich, and they can be financially discerning. The second thing you can do that would be helpful is help them recognize that you work with a spending plan, that you have a plan in your family. A spending plan's a budget. Okay, it's a euphemism. Just use spending plan. Okay, it's budget. Okay. But by them knowing that your family plans their resources wisely because we're rich, they feel strong inside. So don't tell them you can't afford it. And I know you haven't, that's okay, so don't worry about it. But if you, from now on, because that is an easy way out. Yeah, we can't afford that. I've seen people, guys, you can get a credit card. You absolutely could afford it. I've stood in the Target aisle with my kid, the one, Matthew, and I've said, I could buy you every one of those Star Wars guys. The Star Wars guy that goes like this, you know, Star Wars guy that goes like this. I could buy them all. I choose not to because we've got a plan and we're working a plan and we're trying to pay off the house and we're trying to pay off this. We've got a plan. And I remember one of the kids wanted something and the other kid, you know, they like to parent each other and that's kind of helpful when you're not around. And probably Matthew wanted something and Brian goes, come on, Maddie, we're paying off the house. So it was great. So use a spending plan. Share that with your kids. Okay. Begin an allowance and chores when they're ready to start asking you for money. Okay, I don't connect these things. I'm going to do this briefly. We could talk about it for days. But in general, the way we do it is chores and allowance start together. And all an allowance is the money that I would have spent on you that I'm going to pass over to you. So you're taking part of my spending plan, and you're going to be in charge of your money. The biggest mistake people make is they make it too large. And just the embarrassing truth is my 15-year-old gets $15 a month, and he's happy with that because that's just his Slurpee money. I mean, you're 15. What do you want some gum? You want some Slurpees, maybe a Mountain Dew? Your needs are not that great. That's enough for him. So once you have that in place, that gives you, when they want stuff, you can say, well, you've got your allowance. And I wouldn't do the allowance until they start asking for stuff. So just for fun, whose kids aren't asking for stuff yet? Okay, right? Because they're in a basket. They're in a basket and they can't talk. But they're going to get out of the basket and they're going to point. They probably can still point and they want that stuff. But encourage them by giving them their own allowance. Give them mastery over some of their money. Okay? Make sure that they can define their wants versus their needs. And you can tell them, I will give you, Dad and I are going to give you everything you need. Maybe some of what you want. And you need some shoes, but you want shoes with wheels. Are those still in? Because I fought it. It didn't come in. And if you want shoes with wheels, that would hurt me to buy, so you can use your, you know, allowance. And because the allowance is so low, if you want, you can also offer opportunities to do jobs. And we do have that. Chores are different than jobs. A chore is just something you do because you're part of this family. So the money's not really tied to the chores. You get the allowance because you're part of this family and you're going to help us spend your stuff. You're going to make your own decisions. You get the chores because you're part of this family and you need to pick that sock up and do this and do that and help me out. Ladies, I'd start chores so young, as soon as they're ready for the allowance, they can clean baseboards. They're low. I don't have dust on any baseboards in my house because I've got kids, and they've got chores, and so I don't have dust on my baseboards. Jobs are different. They can earn some money if they're trying to get something. And we never did get the shoes with wheels because they decided it wasn't a value. Okay. Next is the list. Okay, I put it in quotes because it doesn't need to be a paper list. The list is basically your way out of when they want something, and you can just say, put it on the list. Mom and Dad have a list. The kids know what's on our list. They see us do that decision making where we have our list and we're thinking about stuff. At one point, I had a child that had an ice pick on the list. I think I want to put an ice pick on my list. Okay? The reason I say I wouldn't have it on a sheet of paper is you also don't want them revisiting that list in their head. So to me, it's kind of a proverbial list. And sometimes we write it down and then I lose that list, you know? But in their minds, they understand the process. I see something, I evaluate it, I put it on the list, we'll think more about it. And I still remember, he was probably 5 years old, Christopher, he holds up this G.I. Joe guy in this store, and he, you know, just cradling it like it's a child. And he goes, Mom, this guy has been on my list since the day I was born. So they get the list, okay? The last thing is to say no with conviction. I feel like it's so easy to do that wishy-washy no, the no that says, ooh, I wish it could. Oh, no, we just can't. Gosh, I wish I could. Look at this stuff, ladies. I want you to see Target the way I see Target. I'm like, Target, is it, you know, a godsend or the devil's playground? It's just confusing to me. But I see Target differently sometimes. And so just say no. Can I have, no. It's so, just say it. No, just no. And sometimes that look like with a little shake of the head too. Just, no. Do that one. Try that one. Just no. No. Okay. Here's a little tidbit for you. Those designer toy stores that have the little boutique-y toy stores, they actually have a name for those toys up front. They're called shut up toys. And that's the industry name. They're $10 or less. They put them by the front counter. And it's so that a parent that has said, no, you can't have this $30 thing because I'm an awesome mom and I can say no. Oh, how about that? You know, and you kind of get out with that. All you're doing is training them to try again the next time. And so at the point when you continue to say no, why would you, why would you want that? And sometimes we take a minute and we look at it and say, we examine the thing, we examine the Buzz Lightyear, and then we talk about it later. Okay, what is it about that drew you to it? And we talk about the list. And in the end, we say no, or put it on the list. My 14-year-old that's now 14, do you remember the yacht story about that precious boy and the debt? I thought he was mine. I thought he was in. I thought he would have no love of the stuff ever. And then he went to middle school. And there were other kids there, and they had a lot of stuff. And so he came home, and they were selling Spiritware. It's a big moment in my family. And he said to me, I want Spiritware. And I went through let's look and see how many sweatshirts you have. Do you need sweatshirts? Bottom line, I'd already bought him the sweatshirt because I knew he'd like it. I know this kid. And so I had already bought it. It was back on a shelf in my back closet. But I still worked him through it so I could say no. And I said, let's go look in your room, blah, 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 blah. And he's in middle school now, and there's some hormones, there's some acne. He's got it going on, and he starts to get agitated. And he's just like, what? Everyone else's parents are getting him this stuff. I don't see why I have to run through checklist after checklist. And he was getting worked up. And the pinnacle of this was he looks at me, and he's crying, I think. I am sick of you guys pretending we're poor. And so to finish the story, that was it. Then I'm starting to get all not a good momish. And I walked him into my closet and I pulled that sweatshirt off the shelf and I said, I had, in that voice probably too, and I said, I had this back for your birthday. And he's like, now you ruined my birthday. So that's it, ladies. They want you to say no to them. They want the boundaries. They want to really appreciate the stuff. And he does. Okay, he does. So what to do if you're already Wow, that's nice, but the culture's already gotten in. We've had all our windows open. You know, we've let it come in. It's coming in on the T-shirts, you know. I'm spoiled rotten, you know. I saw one that said, you should be glad I'm not your kid. And doesn't that make you sad? Okay, so if the culture's crept in and your kid's discontent, let's just talk about some of these. Start over. Do a do-over. Okay? Do a do-over. Tell them, you know, we've been starting to notice. We've been starting to notice that the stuff's making you unhappy. That you don't have a lot of joy with just life, just with God and our family. I think you've got too much stuff. Okay? And this won't serve you well. Write that down. That's a good one. We use that a lot. This won't serve you well. Because I think of the people who we counsel, and I think of them as little kids, and I think of the ER doctor that collected pens on the internet, and he would buy pens and sell pens, and I feel like at some point he probably bought his own pens back. But it was always this hunt, and then it ended, and then he was doing the same thing but with guitars, and he'd collect some guitars, and you could watch it, and it all started with when he was little, and it was this. So start your do-over with, you know, we've been starting to notice. You want to put the slide back up? We'll just copy them down real quick. It's, we've been starting to notice. Or, you know, loving stuff won't serve you well. For you to model contentment. And then I'll build these out. We can take this off. But you model contentment. And you model financial discernment. Place limits on the new stuff. Begin or rework an allowance if that would be helpful for you. I don't think every kid has to have an allowance, but I do feel like they need access to spending money somehow, so you're not the ATM. And then the last one is purge like a maniac. It doesn't say like a maniac, but I just add that. Purge like a maniac. So they're writing really fast. Okay. These are everyone's wanting to do a do-over. Who needs a do-over? Who's picturing that kid? Do-over. Start over. Okay. Just to kind of build those out a little bit. Ladies, you are a powerful model for them. And so when they see you content and they see you discerning how you spend your money and you can help them understand, guys, that stuff, the joy's not there. And I know they think it's there. I know they do. And you can tell them, absolutely, you've got some joy and then it's fleeting. And then it's almost like drugs where you do a little and then you got to have a little more and a little more and a little more. I hear that's what it's like. I don't know what to say. But can we stop that and model contentment and model financial discernment? And can we place limits on new stuff coming in? Okay, I did the math with 4 kids, 2 gift-giving occasions per year, birthday and Christmas, 12 relatives that buy for us, 96 new things coming into my house every year, and that doesn't include what we buy for our kids. So I really work those things. So like my mom buys a group gift. A ping pong table is nice, you know. That stuff that you might need anyway is helpful. But try to manage that stuff coming in. We never had birthday parties for the kids that were huge where you invite people that you think they might know but they don't really know. And I also don't go to those parties where I don't really know them anyway and they're just inviting them because he's in the class and I'm going to bring a $15 toy and we're going to eat some pizza and see some people singing and then we go about our way and we never see each other again. So we didn't do that. Part of the reason was I didn't want 20 kids bringing $15 gifts into my home. So what we do for birthdays is we do the fill the van with your friends, and then we can go anywhere you want. Now you got to fill your brothers in there too. So it's really like 2 friends, but it's really cool when you call it fill the van. Okay? Just do that. Fill the van anywhere you want to go. And one of my kids went to a 10-year-old birthday party with a stretch Hummer. And then they drove around, and they went to someplace fun, and then I picked him up, and I was waiting for it, because he was 10, so he's already had 9 fill-the-van birthday parties, so I was waiting for it, like, oh, he's going to see that other kids do really cool stuff. I was like, was that fun? He's like, yeah. That was it. There was never any, I'd like to do that, that's really exciting. And he actually did say, of course, because I'm raising them, it's an awful lot of money for, you know, or something like that. Don't say it at the party. Wait, that's a great story. Listen to this one. This is Matthew, who's learning to be grateful, and he's still not with us yet. But he was going to his first birthday party, and so we were getting him ready, and we're like, honey, they might give you a goodie bag. What are you going to say? And he goes, I'm going to say, no thanks, don't need one. No, 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 you just say thank you, just say thank you. You know, the weird family, the Crown Counseling family, keep your kids at bay. So. You guys who are doing the do-over, I just want to encourage you in the do-over. Once you realize where the enemy's at, and once you realize who's on your side, that you've got a God that's ready to join you with this, to build the contentment with your kids, to encourage them, you're not alone in this. And now you know who the enemy is. Now you know who to keep out. And you guys can still go to Disney. I would just like replay that video every year because, you know, they do forget. And make it worth something. We live in a culture that stresses grades. And the reason they stress grades is so that the kids can get into a very good college. And you got to get into really good college so you can get a really good. And then if you get the really good job, then you're going to make a lot of. And then you'll be. Okay? I've seen it. That's not the way it works. No amount of money that they make coming in is worth anything if they don't have the contentment and the financial discernment. So if you want to do your job, to have kids that are grateful, where their hearts are grateful, you have got to have them be content, and they've got to have some financial discernment. And then they can do any job that they want. I have one that wants to be a piano player. I'm like, yes, you can be a piano player. You're good. You know, it'll be a small, tiny house. I want it to be clean. We've talked about that. But he's going to be okay. He can manage his finances. So ladies, I just want to close today by saying I encourage you to nurture your children and fill them up with what is good so there's no room for the culture to tell them what's not good. Love them unconditionally for who they are, not for what they do. And tell your kids, I could never love you anymore. There's nothing you could do. You can't impress me. And I can never love you less. There's nothing you can do that would make you love me or I can't love you any less. And they try. Oh, ladies, they try. They try to make me love them less. And I want to tell you, the best part of my first Hearts at Home, and it was 8 years ago, the best part of my first Hearts at Home was when I came home. Because when I left, I didn't like them. And something happened. It takes the full 2 days. So those ladies just come in tomorrow. The full 2 days. But when I came home, I will never forget the renewed sense in my spirit when the kids all came running out to me and I had my backpack and I was home. And it was huge. So I would encourage you today to go home and have that feeling and nurture your children and let them be unconditionally loved for who they are and live life to have the joy it was meant to have, because that's where their freedom's going to be. That's going to be their freedom and their joy. Thanks.